Hello and welcome to the Business of Property podcast. I'm Stuart.
I'm Simon.
We're both property people running our own businesses, and this podcast is just us chatting, as we often do, about anything and everything property. And Simon, we were just talking about our recent goals that we set at the start of the year and have changed. And something we talked about for a little amount of that time was your current predicament around your goals of selling a property to fund other properties, but then sort of having some reticence around that and also remortgaging, and that led us onto a quite an interesting conversation about the current SDLT. But so where are you currently at, mindset? What are you thinking?
Well, we recorded our goals for 2020 sort of review episode a couple of weeks or so ago now. Yeah. And since then, I've been thinking about some of the things you were saying or interrogating me on as to why I wasn't taking out a potential remortgage earlier and having that cash in reserve and ready to deploy. And I had said that I didn't want to have the cash sitting around and costing money when I didn't think there was any risk in waiting. But more and more, I've been thinking perhaps I should get that sorted out, because it will inevitably take some time, probably a few weeks, perhaps a little longer. And once that's completed, I will have the cash reserves ready to go and deploy to something else. And that inevitably puts me in a stronger position when negotiating to purchase something. I can go along and say, here's my offer for X, and here's proof of deposit funds, and let's go, as opposed to saying, here's my offer for X, and I just need to go and do a remortgage before I've got my deposit ready, which inevitably sounds a lot weaker.
Yeah, exactly.
And less tempting for the seller. So over these couple of weeks, your words have been going through my head repeatedly. And
well, that's a worry for anyone.
And slowly winning your argument for you. So I had arrived, I think, at the conclusion that I would start that in motion. However, then news this weekend through a spanner in that works. So as we're recording, news has just been announced this weekend that an apparent stamp duty holiday is being considered. Now, I was going to say announcement, but it's not an announcement yet. It's rumours and hearsay, and possibly interested parties sort of whipping up sort of motion in the direction they want, that maybe there would be a stamp duty holiday announced by the Chancellor this week. Maybe to come into effect straight away, or maybe to come into effect in the autumn. And this throws up all sorts of potential changes in the property market. If it's pre-announced, so he says there will be a stamp duty holiday and it will come into effect in August, then nobody's going to try and buy a property in the next few months. They'll wait until the stamp duty holiday is in place, so you can avoid the stamp duty. And then there'll be a little surge after that to actually make purchases, and there'll be a little bubble, presumably, in the property market from that. Alternatively, he'll say, yes, there is a stamp duty holiday and it's starting immediately, in which case there'll be that little bubble now. So now I'm thinking, when is the right time to time the ability to purchase? I had been thinking that it would be sort of towards the end of this year. The sort of pent up pressure from lockdown, as it would have eased a little bit, and we'd be heading into the winter months, which are always slower anyway in the property market. So I was thinking around that time would be probably an okay or good time to be thinking about buying. But now this pre-announcement or rumor or whatever of stamp duty holidays has thrown a bit of a spanner into the works of my thinking there. The other thing around that is I strongly suspect any stamp duty holiday will not apply to second homes. I can't imagine that they're going to give away significant tax revenue from property investors. So it will probably, the actual stamp duty saving probably won't be available to me as a property investor. It's probably only the property market changes that would have the effect. So I don't know, Stuart, what do you think? Do you think these were all just crazy rumours and the Chancellor's going to come out and deny it all, or what?
well, we don't know is the answer, isn't it? And obviously by the time this airs, we will know. But it seems unlikely that it's only rumour, so hopefully there will be some substance to it. My first question for you is just around, so the next action for you is if you are going to buy, is about releasing some funds from that property. So nothing's stopping you from doing that. So where are you? Is that what you're going to do?
So I was thinking that I'd be trying to buy towards the end of this year. So autumnish time. And hence, I would either be remortgaging at that point, and then I've been coming around to the idea of remortgaging now-ish to then have the funds ready for that. However, if there are stamp duty holidays going on that are messing with the market, I might not want to buy towards the end of this year. And hence, if I'm not buying then, I'm looking more at buying at the beginning of next year, then I don't really want the funds sat around for 6 months. I mean, if they're sat around for 2-3 months, that's some cost in paying that interest, but it's a lot less than if they sat around for 6 to 9 months before I'm ready to redeploy them. So hence hence this feeding into my remortgaging decision and putting doubt back in my mind as to whether I should do this now or whether I should wait.
So it sounds like you're trying to do that very tricky thing, which is time the market, which I've always tried to avoid because, even those in the know, even the day traders, the best day traders struggle with it. So I think it's a tough one. I think for me, when people always ask me when the best time to buy is, I usually do say now is when I look to do it. But there is, of course, an obvious caveat that if we think, and I think where you're sort of coming from is the surge will lead to then a drop off. Is that what you're thinking, isn't it?
Yes, exactly. Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm sat here nodding for you on the video. I forget how to say things to actually get it recorded. Sorry.
Yeah. So, and that obviously I understand because that's where the opportunity is. I think, yeah, for me personally, but again, you know, everyone has a different investment style because that's what we're talking about. I think for me, the cash is always king, isn't it? And just knowing that's ready for an opportunity.
And I do actually invest primarily for cash flow, for cash returns. Mm. I don't invest with capital gains in mind. So in actual fact, I should probably be less concerned about trying to time the market and much more concerned about whether an individual deal actually stacks. So is there enough return on the cash that I put into a deal? So for me, I think I've mentioned this before, I typically look for 5% plus return on investment. And perhaps I should just be looking at that and not worry whether the prices are going up or down or looping around the place or whatever else.
And yeah. No, I was going to say, because we don't know, do we? And that's the thing. And the other thing I'm thinking about is the logistics of it. You know, just the bog standard basic stuff that we go through as property investors is, you know, from a personal perspective, I'm just waiting for an agreement in principle to be completed for a potential purchase, which is 6 months away if it happens. But and it's on a new build, which is a longer time period for agreements in principle. So people might know them as agreements in principles or decision in principles, so AIPs or DIPs. But I'm thinking on this one, we've had to go around the houses on a couple of things because I'm self-employed, as are you. And you know, so that's, I think a current count, I'm on 4 or 5 weeks of that. So I'm just thinking even that, you know, that's nearly a month and a half gone just from your AIP. So there's nothing to stop the wheels turning on the administrative elements.
Yeah, indeed. And yeah, I should probably still get the wheels in motion, have things ready, and be out there looking for a decent deal that actually just stacks on numbers within itself, on its own cash returns, without worrying about timing the market.
Mm.
Timing the market is always something I've tried to suggest to others that you shouldn't do, or shouldn't put too much effort into. So perhaps I should listen to my own advice.
Well, I was talking to someone else the other day, and this is the problem, is that, you know, I think, you know, I've heard it said that, you know, when you're inside the bottle, it's hard to read the label. And I think it's the same. It's very easy for me to sit there and also talk to other people about, oh, this is how you should run your business. But inside my own business, sometimes I need to talk to someone and, you know, like you or somebody else, and they'll say, well, why don't you just do this? And I go, oh, yeah, it's really simple, isn't it, when you put it that way. But so it's worth considering, just because at least I don't know the last time you went through this process of even just getting back on board with a broker and everything else.
That's a very good question. So I've been using the same broker for many years now. So he has most of my details, although inevitably they need up-to-date details. So he will need a refresh of all the fun documentation and things that are needed to be provided these days.
So you are self-employed? You do self-employed? Yeah.
I am, yes, probably a broker's nightmare. So I have shares in multiple limited companies. I'm self-employed as well, as in I have a sort of business that is not a limited company. I obviously have property investment as well. And some of that investment is on my own, and some of it is with family members as well. So yeah, I'm a mess in terms of trying to put together the details that are required.
Yeah, so we share that. So that is the other thing, because the amount of paperwork, I think, given all of the current rules anyway, in terms of being able to write business, you know, you still have to write business plans, P&L accounts, portfolio schedules, all of that takes time.
Yeah, you're absolutely right, it does. And I haven't spoken to my broker for probably since 9 months or so ago. Yeah, I was talking to him about some potential remortgages on other properties towards the end of last year, where I in the end concluded that the amount that could potentially be released wasn't worth it, because it wouldn't add up to enough to actually do anything useful with. That was going on around the end of last year. So yeah, 6 to 9 months. So yeah, he'll definitely need all new information and new paperwork and things to be able to put things together for me.
Yeah, and just coming back up to the high level again. So I completely forgot, obviously we're doing so much, that I put a flat back on the market this week, which is a flat owned in personal names that my wife and I have had for 17 years.
Is it on the market to sell or to rent?
To sell.
Mm.
Because we need to release some equity for our personal purchase. But it looks like the point I was going to make was, it looks like the market's busy. I mean, we've obviously spoken to a number of estate agents around letting it. I've also been in touch with Purple Bricks. That's probably something else to talk about as well.
Mm.
And it does seem like everyone's quite busy. So it does feel like this pent-up demand, he says with air quotes, is real. It's happened. So it feels like there could be a drop-off. But the question I always ask myself is, how do we know? How do we know, okay, we know that you know, employment could be hit when all of the funding support ends, whenever that happens, and employment will rise. But equally, there are a lot of people that, you know, have money, want to make things happen. And I've seen it anecdotally, as well as, you know, in some statistics, that, you know, there are more people looking for properties. So, you know, to gauge that.
Yeah, I should have prepared some statistics in advance, because, of course, I have my Patman software monitors a lot of things that are going on in portal listings. And I could have prepared something much more detailed, but I haven't. So I'll just speak anecdotally about what I've seen sort of browsing through some of the data, there has definitely been a surge of properties being taken off the market because they've been sold. So in the last 2 weeks, maybe even 3 weeks, that's been quite noticeable in the changes that have been coming through. I've even seen some listings going up in price, not many, but a few. There have also been some listings being reduced in price, particularly just in the last week. That's appeared a bit more in the data. Something else that has appeared in the last week or so, though, is properties that sold, I say sold, were taken off the listings sort of 3 weeks or so ago. A few of those have started to reappear. So those sales were, in some cases, obviously a bit hot-headed, and perhaps have now met with surveyors coming along and not providing valuations that people wanted, and hence plans have had to change. So it's not 100% certain, but I would say the trend is definitely at the moment for quite a busy market with quite a lot of properties being sold, basically, or at least subject to contract sold.
Yeah, and I've seen it, you know, in my dealings, you know, and sadly, you know, on more than a couple of occasions now, I know of people that are unfortunately separating, and as well as people that have spent, because they've spent 4 months in their house, no longer want to live in that house. So there's definitely going to be movement, you know, literally in the market. And I suppose that's the point I'm sort of trying to get to, is that we just don't know how long that runway is going to be. And when, you know, we know we are in a recession, but no one's talking about it. Will that happen once the world returns to normal, insofar as everyone says, okay, there is now no more furlough, you're all on your own? So is that when the media picks up on it and then starts, we get the negative spiral and, you know, the all important, you know, confidence levels start to drop?
Yeah. And here we are back to trying to time the market. Yeah, I think it's inevitable at some point, isn't it? It's just a question of when. I saw an interesting snippet of data from, I think this was German retail sales figures. And you could see, it was a graph, so you could see that they were sort of climbing over time. And this massive drop, obviously, for their lockdown and the COVID effects.
Yeah.
And then a more than equal massive rise again as they've started to unlock things, such that it was actually above the previous trend. So not just recovery, but recovery beyond the previous trend of upwards motion. So there's possibility that it won't be too much sort of dip after that, if there is that much confidence left. Of course, the UK is a different market, and we've had a very different lockdown experience and a very, very different general COVID sort of survival experience, if you like. So we may be quite different from that market. But it goes to show that there was a lot of pent-up pressure, and when it was released, it came back in full force, and they perhaps haven't lost anything during that time. I don't know what their sort of employment rates, employment figures are like, how they've managed the process of keeping jobs through COVID. So that might be interesting to compare. But yeah, maybe we'll get people bouncing back into normal life and continuing without too much effect.
Well, let's hope so.
Yeah, I think it would be good if it can, but I can't imagine it is actually really sustainable. There are, I think it was 3 million odd currently have had some kind of furlough support. I think it was something like that. I think it was about 3 million employees and a bit over 1 million businesses have taken advantage of the furlough scheme. So there's a lot of people there who are currently uncertain about the future, even if right now perhaps they've got a bit more cash because they've been stuck at home, still being paid something, but not being able to spend much.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, like I say, that's when the rubber will hit the road. But ultimately, it brings us back around to, you know, we don't know, and therefore, you know, as a property investor, my view is, I think the bit I'll sort of underline as we draw the podcast to a close is that something you said, which always stays with me as an investor, is that if the deal stacks up, and we talk about deals and stacking, which is not my biggest thing, but if the property purchase holds value, as in, you know, can I buy it for a good value? Will I get the yield I want? Is it in the right area? And do I think it will be occupied for the majority of the time? Then whether the prices fluctuate or not in the next year or 2 years, for me personally, doesn't matter. I'm looking, I genuinely look at a sort of 5 to 10 year time horizon. I said, you know, 5 to 10 years for me is what I'm looking at usually. I mean, like I say, the property I'm about to sell is 17 years old. So we've seen capital growth in that a few times. And, you know, again, for me personally, then that's the key thing. Of course, we're not going to buy a property if we think that property values are going to drop by 10 to 20% in the next 6 months. Of course not. But again, for me, if I'm looking at it, and I think the value's about right. I mean, I've had a property purchase that we've talked about on this that's been in on the cards for a year and a half now. So I think I had my offer accepted in January 2019. Now, I actually offered, I won't give all the details on that actually, because we're not far enough into it, but I offered, and they came back and said, well, you know, you need to extend the lease, which I said, no, that's not what I agreed. You need to do that, because I wouldn't have. So, but, you know, fortunately, we've dealt with it all amicably, and it's going really well. However, you know, COVID put a stop to it, and the lease extension, you know, exacerbated the timeline. So now, like I say, we're now a year and a half into it where we've hardly progressed. And I would say, in terms of percentages, the property price for me, you know, increased by, let's say, 2%, which I was happy to accept. Now, other people could say, well, Stuart, but you could lose 20% on that property value. And that's true. You know, I'm now thinking, well, there's a bit of a risk now if I go through and complete on this in the next month or 2 months. However, I'm so happy with the value because I know what I'm going to do to the property. In terms of, I know what its current condition is, I know what its future condition could be, and what its rental figures would be to me personally. And that makes me more confident regardless. So even if the worst case scenario happens and we did lose 20%, which I don't think that would happen, but if it did, I'd still say, actually, that will still rent what I want, because the rent won't change by that much. And yeah, so that's kind of how I work with it and reconcile these situations in my head.
I think that's very sensible. And once you've got a mortgage, and I suppose if you're concerned about a sort of 10-20% drop at the extreme, perhaps that would affect the kind of mortgage product you look at. So typically, if you're looking at a fixed rate mortgage that would then go on to a quite a high standard variable, you would need to remortgage at that point. So at the point when you remortgage, you need to have fairly decent value in the property in order to still be able to maintain your loan to value.
Really good point.
So if you're thinking that there's going to be a big drop or a risk of a big drop, maybe you'd look at a more long-term product, either a much longer term fix or perhaps a tracker or something on of that type. But apart from that, I think you can weather these things. Mm. So as you say, as long as the rent covers the outgoings and provides the return on investment that you're wanting, then so what if it drops 20%? And then for the next 10 years, it climbs 2, 3, 4% a year, depending on how quickly the recovery might be. And yeah, in order to get back to where you started, you have to keep it for 15, 20 years maybe. But property is a long-term game. So yeah, as long as it's generating you income throughout that time period and you don't get stuck in a remortgaging issue, then yeah, why not?
And yeah,
it still works. It still creates a return in the meantime.
It's long-term wealth, and without climbing onto my soapbox, but then, you know, given the stage of the podcast, we're at, only diehard listeners are still here, so I feel comfortable in stepping up onto the soapbox, is that the problem is, of course, is that, you know, a lot of words and coverage of property from property training companies is, it makes us all feel that this is a very quick win environment, and property, you know, our experience is that it's absolutely not that. You know, we can talk about no money down, we can talk about cash out. However, even in those scenarios, for people to make money, rent to rent still takes years, to make good margin on the property. So that's, yep, that's how I think about it. I think of a minimum 5 year. And I think, you know, your point around the length of the fixed period is a really good one, which again shouldn't be missed, because that's what I think about. Because two things you know, first thing you mentioned was around, you know, you don't want to come out of the fixed period if the values drop to the property, for obvious reasons, because then you won't be able to get onto a different product. You'll end up on a standard variable rate, which is ridiculous compared to what you've had.
Yeah,
but
yeah.
And then if you needed to, you know, yeah, both, basically you want to look for a longer period if you think you're about to enter a period of instability, and that's what I do. So when times look good, I'm usually on a 2 or a 3 year, but right now I'll be thinking about a 5 year, unless I'm going to flip it because I don't want to pay the early redemptions, and that's it.
Yep. On that very sensible note, shall we draw this episode to an end before we go on way beyond our normal budget?
Well, hope everyone's enjoyed the show. As per usual, if you are enjoying the show, please do leave us a rating. It just helps to circulate the message and means we can get the message further out there. And if you are really enjoying it, please feel free to leave a review of the podcast wherever you're listening to the podcast. And for everything else, just go to thebusinessofproperty.com and you'll find all of the show notes there. Until the next time.